Melissa, if it's all right with you, I will just go ahead and turn the floor over to you first, and then I will speak after you.
Absolutely. So my agenda items are pretty simple this evening. Basically, I'm just going to re review MIPS. We're keeping social drivers, we're keeping advanced care plans, and we're keeping dementia. So please continue to add any dementia diagnoses or Alzheimer's diagnoses. We are removing AFib and A-flutter. We're retiring that measure, and we're retiring falls. We've added statin medications, and I'm going to send a list of relevant diagnoses to add in order to capture the statin meds. Basically, any patient that you're taking care of, if they're on a statin med, go ahead and enter it into a PREMA because basically any relevant diagnosis that you're entering, if it's diabetes, hyperlipidemia, PAD, PVD, basically we're going to need a statin med for that person. So any patient that you're taking care of, if they're on a statin med, go ahead and put it in. We'll continue to do our best and help you guys from our end. Social drivers, you do have to enter yourself. We can't complete that for you. We can help you with dementia as long as you're putting in the dementia-related diagnoses. But as far as meds, if we can, we'll help. But continue to, do your part, and we'll help you as much as we can on our end. A PREMA update. We're almost done with the wound form. Samson, Dina, and I are meeting on Wednesday, and then we're going to meet again on Thursday with Dr. Karamati to hopefully finalize the new updated wound form. And it will have a little radio satellite button that'll convert in person to telemedicine and vice versa. So that's almost down to the home stretch. So that's what I have tonight.
All right, very good. Any questions about any of that? All right, very good. So a few things for me as well. The first, I wanted to update everybody. Last year we had introduced another product that we were hoping to use for our patients by the name of Miro 3D. If you guys remember, this was the 3D collagen matrix that very much looked like a sponge. Unfortunately, things have not really progressed since our last discussion about this. Things are still kind of in a holding pattern, and it's mostly because of some contractual terms and things like that, this company is not really willing to kind of accommodate as many of the other competitors and other companies are offering right now. So, for those of you that have been kind of waiting or anticipating using this product for their patients, things are still on hold. So I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that. The other thing that I wanted to mention is just kind of going over biologic criteria. We've set up, some protocols and guidelines and things like that. Please do make sure that you are reviewing these elements when you are submitting the patients for IVR. We have been reviewing some of these chart notes because we anticipate eventually we will have to be audited for them as well by CMS and the other agencies. And if you do not have those elements documented and listed in your notes, that will be a problem. And that will be a reason for a clawback. So please make sure that you are reviewing, patients that are on hospice, that are comfort care, that are at end of life are not eligible. Again, patients that are under skilled status are not eligible. The main comorbidities, especially if you're listing them as the reason why that the patient is at risk for non-healing, needs to have some sort of evidence that you've optimized this before attempting biologics, whether that means diabetes management, whether that means ensuring adequate perfusion, nutrition labs, discussion of smoking cessation, all of those things need to be documented to justify the use of biologics. We have tried to provide some documents that you can keep on your desktop for quick reference. For those of you that don't find that helpful, we will hopefully be sending out little cards that you can either keep in your pocket or perhaps even attach to your ID badge for quick reference. But very, very important that these criteria be reviewed for each patient. We are also going to be training another member of the team for the biologics coordination. Andrea Jackson is just joined our team today. She will be going through an onboarding process, and she will be there to kind of assist you with any sort of clinical questions that you may have about appropriateness for patients and things like that. So I do want to make you all aware that there will be some additional resources to help you with that process. So I will pause here and see if anybody has any questions about any of these things. All right. Well, the last thing that I want to bring up, it has to do with scheduling. Please make sure that, any schedule changes, whether it's temporary or permanent, needs to be run through and involving your regional managers. We recently have had some folks that have been making changes and adjustments on their own. And this is causing some issues, especially on an administrative level for some of these facilities. And it's getting back to us that they're concerned about these. And so, the regional managers do need to be involved in these sort of changes and decisions. Again, we've always discussed the importance of compliance of rounds within a 7-day period and measurements and those types of things. And so when we're altering and adjusting, that can sometimes be an issue and concern because that criteria is not being met. So please, this happens certainly around the holiday times, but any time that happens where you do need to make an adjustment to that schedule, regardless if you just get the okay from the treatment nurse, please involve your regional manager. Obviously PCC will need to be knowing about that as well. So please, let the appropriate parties know about these types of changes.
Like to chime in on that also, because I get a lot of angry calls when this happens from ownership at facilities. So just because, let's say, a provider is going to be, let's say, on vacation or whatever, and has worked out with the treatment nurse or whomever that no rounds are to be scheduled, the facilities don't want that. The ownership doesn't want that. They want a substitute, because it affects their income directly. They get credits every time providers come into the facility. It affects their survey scores, all these things. And so you may think it's not a big issue. They think differently. You get terminations because of this. You think you've worked it out, and because the treatment nurse seems to be okay with it. It's not okay. At the higher levels, they are not okay with that. And so there has to be something that we get approval. That's why the regional manager has to be involved in this and has to be able to work that out. And if at the higher levels they're saying, okay, that's on them. Okay, they did that. But if not, we have an obligation to try to find some other manner of coverage. So it is critically important. Do not underestimate the impact of what this could do to being able to service their facilities. So, what Dr. Karamani said is absolutely spot on.
All right, any questions about the things reviewed tonight?
There is one other thing that I think we probably should bring up, that hopefully it gets put off, but there is legislation out there that will minimize the ability to utilize telemedicine. There were extensions granted because of COVID that take us through March of this year. And if that is not renewed, telemedicine, other than in rural areas, will not be covered. So, the rural areas before COVID, and we'd have to check on what that is, are those areas that have a population under 70,000. So I bring that up. We hope it gets extended longer, but no guarantee. There's nothing that we know yet that's been introduced that would extend that. Anybody have any questions on that?
All right. Well, I will open the floor now for any other questions or comments or concerns that anybody would like to bring up.
It's Melissa. I'm going to be sending out the updated IVR and protocols after the calls this evening, and I will also send out new MIPS information to everyone.
Thank you, Melissa. Again, if anybody has any educational topics or things like that that they would like to be to have reviewed, please submit those topics to either myself or Melissa. Certainly, always enjoy discussing clinical things with the group as well. But if there are no other questions, then I thank you all for joining us this evening, and look forward to chatting with you all again next month.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
You.